Today, our minister, the minister of the word, is one of our own in this congregation. We call him Pastor Kings. And Pastor Kings has many titles. And we are not here to introduce titles. But among the things, I was supposed to introduce him better. Then last night, I just forgot. I was supposed to ask him to come with the books he has written. He's an author. He is a very, very recent father. So I thought today is a very, very good time for us to hear from one who is in paternity leave. So we are getting it hot from the paternity leave. I know tumemumiss, lakini we decided now that he is back, he can come with that great anointing of Kuhiyuhelio and also be a father. So shall we take a minute and commit him into the hands of God? Our Lord and our Father, we thank you for calling us to be together and to partake together with in the blessing of being in your presence. We thank you for every one of us who stretched their hands to give into your work. We pray that your blessings will be upon them in the businesses that they do, in the jobs that they where they serve. We pray that you are going to continually bless them and bless them so abundantly that they are going to be witnesses that indeed it is not in vain to give and to partner with you in your work and in ministry. Bless every one of us and even those who are not able to give. May you remember them that they are also going to come with thanksgiving and give some other time. We also commit our brother, Pastor Kingori, as he comes to minister. Let your power flow upon his life. Let your anointing be upon him, that every word that he is going to speak shall flow, our Father, from your heart, and it is going to come to us with an anointing that will change our lives. What we sit down to listen to is not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom that comes from you, and the wisdom that changes and transforms men and women. May you instruct us through our brother in the way we should go as part of your great mission and part of your great body. We commit him into your hands, desiring that you're going to use him in the name of the Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we pray and believe.
Amen.
I want to introduce to you our Pastor Godfrey Kingori to come and minister the word of God. Karibu.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And good morning.
Good morning.
I thank the Lord. And I am a proud recent father. As Pastor has said, I happened to go to work last week. I happened to pass by office because I also work. For the information of everybody, I work at Kemsa. That is for the information and the benefit of everybody. And we are doing well. We are doing well. We are happy. The Lord has been so good to us. And we are trusting God for the storms to pass. The best thing is that if I would just look at my life, what I know is I have done the right thing. That is as far as I am concerned. And we are also trusting that should there be any rotten element, then the Lord will help us streamline. Is that so? So we are doing well. We are doing well. And people are saying that nimeongeza weight. Others are saying we change. I am not very certain about that. But two of those days during the week I put on trousers. Nasikia zinakata. For one of them, as I said, well, but in tender knife. When I went and sat in the car, you can't you didn't look up, so I think Ningongeza are weak. And I'm also trusting God that I've also added weight as far as my walk with God is concerned.
Amen.
So I thank the Lord. I'm really, really happy and honored to be here. and to be bringing us the word of the Lord from that break that I had taken. Technically, I'm still moving slowly, but I thank the Lord. He's been good. As you heard, yes, I'm also an author. I've written quite a number of books. I've written about 8 books, but I've published 4 of them. Nimeziandika ni soft copy, and I trust that the grace of God will be sufficient. Allow me also to introduce a brother who said that he would wish to join us today. His name is Weldon Ngeno. Please stand up. Do you wish to say hi yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, please come. Please stand. Now, what happens is it means I'm going to really watch on my time, but it is worth it.
No, it's okay.
Bwana asifiwe.
Amen.
Nimeshukuru sana kuungana nanyi. Creative family. Pastor Kingori alikuwa anatuambia wakati tukiwa fellowship kwamba mnafungua kanisa. Na tukamuombea, na tukaombea kwamba Mungu ataendelea kueneza injili huku. So, it's a brother tulikuwa na AKC University, na tunashukuru Mungu kwa vile amewafikisha hapa, mbarikiwe sana.
Thank you very much. Now, we go to the word of the Lord. My wife sent her greetings. I must admit, she is not very, very happy staying at home. In fact, I really had to talk to her in the morning because she was really discouraged by the fact that she's not able to come to church because, from the time churches were closed, she has not come. Then all the way to the expecting now with a baby, and she, by the look of things, we might even finish the year before she comes. She is not a happy person. I am only hoping that she is praying for us. But we thank the Lord. So we have been doing Ephesians. We have been going through the book of Ephesians, and our pastor has really done as well, taking us through the first 2 chapters. We are doing a series that we have called Victorious Living. Sit, walk, and stand. And so what I want to do today, I want to tie up and complete the part of sitting, and then begin introducing us to the next part, which is walking. Sit, walk, stand. And we trust that the Lord is going to really, really speak to us. Among the things that we are going to really notice today is based on our position in Jesus Christ and what we are able to do, not just what we are able to do, but the kind of place that He has given us in Himself, the kind of place that He has given us in Himself. Recently, I've been writing an article that has something has really been disturbing my spirit. Not really disturbing my spirit, but has been heavy on my spirit. And so I decided to write an article. And I've been trying to look at my journey of salvation ever since I got saved. By the way, I got born again. Oh, yes. Actually, it's almost like my birthday. It's almost my birthday, my 20th birthday in the faith. Because I got born again. Funny enough, in the month that I also happened to be born. So I was born in October, and I also got born again in October of 2000. And so I'm heading towards my birthday, natural birthday, and also my birthday in the faith. I've been looking at my faith as far as that is concerned, and I've been trying to examine, is there a way that this walk could have been better? Is there something that I've been missing all along? But before we talk about that, let us read the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We are going to read it in portions, but we are going to look at the whole chapter. Now, for this reason, it is important to know that for this reason is a continuation of whatever was happening just there before. So allow us to read from chapter 2, from verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19, then we'll go all the way to, we'll link it with chapter 3. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, in whom the whole being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So then we continue. For this reason, for what he was talking about, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Now, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. That's verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. By the effective working of his power. Now we can also go back to Ephesians chapter 1, read from verse 7 to verse 14. I don't wish to go back there as of now. So first of all, we are introduced to chapter 3 from chapter 2. And we see that we are no longer strangers and foreigners. Pastor, as was preaching last time, told us or taught us on how the middle wall of separation was broken. And therefore, both the Jews and the Gentiles, who we are part of whatever would be called Gentiles, as far as the Bible is concerned, we become one. And the Bible says that we are fellow citizens together with the saints and members of the household of God. So that becomes our starting point. And may I also say that when the Bible says that we are members together with the saints, you see, earlier on, I used to think that a saint is the likes of Saint Mark, Saint Paul. I mean, the likes of the people who have gone before us, probably they have even died. But if you look at the scripture, even the very, very beginning of Ephesians chapter 1 says that Paul is actually writing to the saints who are in Ephesus. When he writes to the Philippians, he says he was also writing to the saints who are in Philippians, and also even Colossians. And so all that, and we can look at over 10 verses that actually refer to the body of Christ and to the Christians as saints. So the Bible says that we are part of that body. We are no longer strangers, we are no longer outsiders, but we are part of the wealth, of the commonwealth. We are part of the family of God. And you are going to see how that family comes into place as we progress. So then he says, for this reason, because of the fact that I am now preaching that you are no longer strangers and citizens, I am in prison. That is how verse 3 begins. For this reason, I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I am actually in chains. So because of that, because of teaching that, and because of the realization of that, then the people were not very, very happy with him, and he was actually put in prison. But he continues on to say that this grace was given to me by the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the reason is so that you can also know that the Gentiles have also become partakers of the same grace of God together with the people of God. And therefore, when we talk about the people of God, and when we refer to the people of God as far as this particular teaching is concerned, I want you to think about the people who are born again, the people who are in Christ. Those are the people of God that we are actually talking about. Now, when we fail to understand that we are the people of God, then whatever we are talking about and whatever we'll be speaking about today will not even be able to make sense for us. Because we know that should be Ecclesiastes, I've just remembered a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 7 that says that I have seen an evil on this earth where princes walk like servants while servants ride on horses like prince. It's almost like a very, very big disorder. And of course, you can see, if you do not understand the kind of position that God has given you, if you do not understand the kind of place that God has placed you, the kind of privilege and authority that God has given you, then you will begin living like somebody who you'll actually not be living in accordance to how God wants you to live. I remember when I was in high school, I read a story of somebody who had paid for an air ticket, and he only had enough money for the air ticket, he only had enough money to pay for the ticket to go. He was going to the USA, or I mean, he was just going abroad. But then he carried some bread, and the journey was to take about 18 hours. He was going quite a far distance. And he had carried some bread that was not very, very fresh because he did not have money to buy food. And he also did not understand that when you pay for an air ticket, even food and meals are inclusive. And so the story goes that he was found by the air hostess drinking some water that he had carried and some bread that was still. Mkate ilikuwa imekauka, ilikuwa karibu inaharibika. And he was asked, why are you eating this kind of bread? He said, well, I don't have enough money to pay for food. The only money that I had, I paid for ticket. And so the surprise was when he was actually told, when you paid for that air ticket, you actually also paid for any food that you may be willing to take. So it is very, very good for us to begin understanding our position. And I want to take just some bit of time in this, because when Adam sinned against God and we were separated from him, God sent Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross. He was crucified, he died, and he rose again. And as a result of that, we that believe in him are said to be in Christ. Now, when Christ comes into your heart and when you believe in him, you are also counted as part of the body of Christ. And even the church is called the body of Christ. God, when God looks at you and you having been born again, he does not just see you as who you are by your name. He does not just see me as Godfrey, but he sees me in Jesus Christ, because I am covered in Christ. And so then, whatever he allows Jesus Christ to enjoy and inherit, I am also allowed to begin operating in such kind of a privilege, not because I am so good enough, not because I have made it, not because I am worth it, but because of being found in the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ. Now, let me just show us something a bit interesting. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says that a posterity shall serve him, and it shall be recounted to him for the next generation. Of course, it is talking about Jesus Christ. A posterity shall serve him, it shall be recounted to him as the next generation. And then in your own time, go read Matthew chapter 1. The Bible says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Okay, maybe I can just read the very, very beginning of that, and towards the very end of that, and look at a particular statement that I want to highlight. It begins, Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Of course, it says Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah, and it continues. We can go out the way to, we can skip all the way to verse 17 and see. Verse 17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now, if you take just some time to study that, and when you're not reading the Bible in a hurry, you may be tempted, like I was tempted, to actually count the generations. And I remember there was a time I began counting the generations. I counted again and again and again. And I was trying to add them up. It says 14 to Abraham to David, 14. David to captivity, 14. Captivity to the Christ, 14. But when you go to Jesus, it gets to 41. It doesn't add up. So it says 17, 17, 17, that should be 42. But when you try to count, you will only see 41. And this, for a long time when I was in campus, stood out for me as a mistake in the Bible. And I was saying, well, among the mistakes that I know in the Bible, this is one of them. But I didn't need to see how to handle it. But as I sought the Lord concerning the matter, and I was just trying to read with an inquisitive mind and trying to, you know, go back to the scripture, compare scriptures, this is when I stumbled across Psalm 22:30. A generation shall serve him. It shall be recounted to him as a generation for the next generation. And so I also went back and did some bit of study, and I realized some versions of Matthew 1 say the book of the generation, not just the book of the genealogy, but the book of the generation. So whatever was being really, really impressed upon me, that the very subject of this particular matter is not just Christ Jesus, the Jewish person, but Christ, the perfected man in whom we are part of. Are we together? So we become the generation of Jesus Christ. We are accounted as if we are his children. We are accounted as if we are the generation that come after him, as the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2 verse 30. And so I want us to also realize that we are a generation of Jesus Christ that was born at the cross of Calvary. When Christ was dying, when Christ died and his side was pierced with a spear, the Bible says that water and blood came out. Now, I am not a very experienced in this kind of scenario, but I also understand that when women deliver children, there is also water and blood that becomes part of whatever comes out. And so, even Jesus Christ, the fact that he was pierced and water and blood came out, was also to symbolize a birth of a new generation. We are a generation that has been born for Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, we are a royal priesthood, a holy generation, God's own people, as peculiar, a unique people, that we may show forth the praises of God. Allow me also to refer to Isaiah 43 chapter 21 that tells us that these people I have appointed for myself, they will declare my praise. So if we have known that, and we have known according to chapter 2 that we are no longer dead, but we have been raised up together with Christ, and we are seated with him according to chapter 2 in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and all the powers of the earth and in the air, then we need to re-examine our lives and begin asking ourselves, why so? Why have we been allowed? I mean, why didn't God just say, you are on earth while Christ is seated high above? He says, I have also made you to sit together with him. I have also made you to sit at the right hand of God. And Pastor taught us and said that sitting at the right hand of God means sitting at the place of power, sitting at the place of authority. Are we together? Sitting at a place of authority and a place of great privilege at the right hand of God. Why so? Why so? Let me give another illustration. I once was following the story of the Israelites towards Exodus, and I realized that from the time that manna began falling from heaven, it continued, and the Bible says very, very clearly that manna stopped the time that they got their first harvest. From the time that they got their first harvest, they were no longer supposed to live on manna. They were actually supposed to be very, very productive. I mean, it was not just a matter of, now you are the people of God, nini kaeni tu alafu tuone kutaendeleaje. I will feed you, I will sustain you, and what have you. God wanted them to go there, possess the land, not only possess the land, but also be very, very productive. And so then, in that kind of a context, in that kind of an understanding, it is important to know that you have not just been seated together with Christ at the right hand of God, just to pass through life, just to live and wait until Christ comes for us. We sang, till he returns or calls me home. It's a very, very beautiful song. We are not just supposed to wait till he returns or he calls us home, but we are supposed to be doing something. We are supposed to be very, very productive for Christ, not only now, but even progressively until the time that he comes. The most quoted verse in the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament is Psalm chapter 110 from verse 1. It is the verse from the Old Testament that is most quoted. I have taken it upon myself to try and count. I have found at least 23 times myself, and I'm sure I don't know what the verse is, so kuna zile zingine sikuona, but I have seen it being referred to about 23 times. What does it say? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall extend the rod of your strength from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Let's continue to say, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your youth. That has also been a theme for us when we're talking about God's army rising. So we see a conversation that David was seeing in the spirit between God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. So sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And this continues to be a theme. It is the same reference when the Bible says that God raised him up from the dead, not only from the dead, but also seated him up high above, far above all principalities and powers, at the right hand of God. Not only that, he does not just sit Christ there alone, he also raises us up together with Christ to sit with. So it is still the same continuation of this particular verse. And therefore, at that particular point, I think when I think about this verse, I imagine of at least we have a father, a mother, and a son in Dennis. I was not there also, but when our pastor was a young man, actually you gave such an illustration. He said, you are a young man, you met our mom at some point. So when he was a young man and our mom was a young lady, they met, they decided to get into the covenant of marriage. Now they had an agreement that Dennis and Derek were not part of. They were not involved, they were not even known. Is that so?
Sure.
But however, the fulfillment of the agreement that these people had becomes a great resource, and our brothers here become direct beneficiaries of that kind of an agreement and that kind of a promise and a covenant. And so when we are talking about this, I want us to see a covenant between the Father and the Son that we are not part of. We were not there, we were not involved. However, for the fulfillment of this covenant, for the fulfillment of this agreement, we become as the people of God, we become as the people of Jesus Christ, who enjoy the benefits of this agreement that we were not involved in the making. And so Christ coming to die on the cross, to die and rise again from the dead, to create a people, to unite a people, to assemble all the people to God, becomes his part of the bargain, his part of the fulfillment of the covenant that he had with God. The covenant is, you know, in you I will assemble all the people, but in that period of time, then I will give you a position of authority, a position of rulership, and I will conquer the enemies for you. I'm also remembering Psalm chapter 2 that says what? That says the Lord, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Sit, ask of me and I will give you nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. So we are sitting there because there is a covenant that God had and a purpose that God had in himself that he wants to fulfill on the earth. However, Dennis and Derek cannot live as independent people simply because they are not part of the covenant. They have to work and to live towards supporting the parents to fulfilling what it is that they desired. Are we together up to that point?
Yeah.
And so when we are brought as part of the covenant, as beneficiaries of the covenant, we are also given a responsibility. We are also given a responsibility. And this brings us to part 2 of this Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 8. Let us read and see what is this responsibility that we have been given. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It is very, very easy for us to read that statement as, let us read verse 10 and you tell me whether I read it wrongly. Just follow through as I read. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Have I read it the right way? Let me read again. Please follow. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. I have actually not read in the right way because I have skipped a word. It says the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. So the reality here and the emphasis is not just us knowing the wisdom, but making the wisdom known. Are we together? So the church is supposed to be a tool or an instrument through which God makes known his wisdom and his grace to the principal. And when I talk about that, I also mean to the powers that stand against his purpose. That God uses us as an instrument to not only know, it is good enough that we know, but we're also supposed to make that known. Are we together?
Yes.
And this was determined even before we were born. This was determined even before we were created. And therefore, we are called for a purpose that is far much greater than ourselves. Because God is working a work in the earth and in our days that he wants us to be part of. Are we together? And our working, the effort that we bring in, our responsibility, our assignment, is to make his wisdom to be known.
Amen.
Let me then make quite a statement that we probably may need to justify a bit, but it is very, very true. Our purpose and our end goal when we get born again is not to just merely wait until we go to heaven. We are already seated in the heavenly places, far above the principalities and the powers. And so, instead of just looking forward and saying, oh, I want to go there, I want to go there. Yeah. Oh, Lord, you know, I have no friend but you. In heaven, it is okay, I love that song. Mimi nilelewa PCA, so mimi napenda hymns kabisa. And that is one of the hymns that I love. But, listen, before we talk about then, there is an assignment now. Are we together?
Yes.
And the assignment is, from the heavenly places, we will come forth as if we are coming, you know, as people sent from God to come and make his wisdom and his glory known. So the goal is not to escape from the earth, but the goal is from where we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places to continue teaching and showing and influencing the earth towards godliness. To help the earth know what was the intention of God in the first. What does God want for us? Romans 8:19 says what? That for the earnest expectation of the whole creation eagerly awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. So the expectation is not when we will disappear from the earth and go to heaven. The biggest expectation as for now until Jesus comes is for the sons of God who are far above in the heavenly places, hidden with God. The earth cannot see them. We need to begin showing forth and manifesting until the world can surely see us and say, I have seen God in this person. I have seen the Son of God in this person. Until people can begin saying, like Peter told Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They will not be telling me, but they will be speaking generally about the church. That surely the church is the body of Christ, is the Christ of God, is the anointed one of God. Are we together?
Yes.
And so God places a huge responsibility upon us. That I want you to begin manifesting. Because you are not, even though you are living from in what is visible, your actual position is where it is invisible. Then you begin to continue appearing. You need to continue then manifesting as a son, as a true believer. As a true believer in what you do, continue influencing the world with the culture of the kingdom. That this is how we do things in our kingdom. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
This is how we work out things in our kingdom. I told you I work in KEMSA, and today people call me pastor and bishop. They began calling me bishop even before I became a pastor. Not because I was preaching. I always tell people, please do not steal my prayer time. If you are employed, we end up finding a kazi. If you get a chance to preach, preach. But to sit talking kwa ofisi from one office to the other, to the other, to the ukienda kuambia Jesus anakupenda John 3:16. No. I always tell them, do the work that has been given to you. But as you do the work, let Christ be seen. Praise the name of the Lord. So that I try as much as possible, by the grace of God, wherever I am, to begin influencing the people and the environment with the culture of the kingdom of God. So that they can begin to know the wisdom of God. What is this wisdom? The wisdom is that when God created man, Adam and Eve, the Bible says, he created us in his own image and likeness. Is that so? In his own image and likeness. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, but the Son, the only begotten Son of the Father, has declared him. Are we together? So God is invisible, but he has created us in his own image and likeness. No one has seen God at any time, but the Son has made him known. The other wisdom of God is, for you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may do what? That you may show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we talk about show forth, haimanishi tukuja hapa na pambio mbili motomoto. No, it means show forth the praises of God. Basically, put God on display, if I can use that as a term. That really, the wisdom of God is, in this man that I have created, I have given him my image and likeness, so that them that cannot see me can see me through them. Are we together? That is why we are there with him. We can see him, we can relate with him. And so the responsibility that we have then is to continue manifesting and appearing, even as we seek to defend the name and the reputation of our Father here on earth. As we seek to defend the name and the reputation of God. That the name of God, it is in our Bible study that we saw that the name of God may not be blasphemed, right? On Thursday. That the name of God may be blessed. This is how Psalm 110 is fulfilled, and then the Bible says, rule in the midst of your... God, the Father tells the Son, sit at my right hand, I will extend the rod of your rule from Zion, it will continue, but then rule in the midst of your enemies. Who are the enemies of God? We can talk about principalities, we can talk about demons, but ideally, for the very, very basic definition, is those that stand in opposition to the will and the purposes of God. And the truth of the matter is, God has placed us among them. Wherever God has placed you, there are people that stand opposed to the will and the power and the purposes of God. And they are trying to bring it, you know, they are trying to oppose what God is establishing. And those are the kind of people that if we are found, they are the enemies of Christ. Is that so? They are the enemies of Christ. But God has placed us in their midst, so that as we arise and do what is supposed to be done by us, then Christ can surely say, I am ruling in the midst of my enemies. For this reason, again, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father. Now, we have already seen two reasons. Now, he says, for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just look at this. So, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or to understand with all the saints. Again, the idea of the saints come about. So you do not become a saint when you die. You are a saint now, based on your position in Christ. So we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So this then says, you know, I bow my knee to the Father. God is then also introduced to us as a Father. Talk about a Father, we are talking about the source of our identity, the source of our nature. Today, if you really want to know my Father, you only need to get as many men as you want. Uchukue DNA yao na uchukue yangu. You will know my Father from among them. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
And so if God is our Father, we carry his DNA, we carry his identity. He is the source of our nature. He is the source of the purpose and the destiny that we actually have here on earth. And the nature of God is different from the nature of anything else or anyone else in the world. And so then, when we begin accessing the nature of God by knowing him, by relating with him, I always love 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, now, as in a mirror, we behold the glory of God, and we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The more we continue relating with God, we begin knowing him more and getting his nature. Are we together? And the nature of God is so different from the nature of those that are actually out there. And so when we find ourselves in the midst of the enemies of God, then we can actually represent God in the very, very, very best way. The Bible says in the book of 1 John that, brethren, it has not been revealed to us what we shall be like. But we know when he appears, we shall be like him. Now, this one is a very, very beautiful statement. It has a future aspect. It also has a present aspect. When Christ appears to us, when Christ has surely appeared, we have surely met the grace of God. There is nothing else other than being like him. Are we together?
Yes.
We begin being like him. This is a challenge that all of us must then adopt, so that we know, has Christ surely appeared in me? Have I surely met the saving grace of God? If I have, then Christ begin. I need to begin appearing just as he is. I may not be as perfect as he is for now, but continually we continue getting perfect, better and better and better. We continue growing. We continue excelling in the same. This is, we may be strengthened with might in the inner man. There is need for might, because as far as Christ is concerned, he is fighting. As far as Christ is concerned, he is fighting the powers and the principalities of the air. So for us to be able to position ourselves and to actually know what it is that God wants, verse 16 says that you be strengthened with might in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Verse 7, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. What is this? Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. Christ in you what? To them God will to make known of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The heavens have always hoped and wanted to have Christ in your heart. That becomes the hope of glory. Why? Because when Christ is in your heart, you have met him, you begin looking like him, then your life becomes to the praise of the glory of God. I think the last time I preached or I taught here, I was talking about treasure in earthen vessels. So I really don't want to repeat that. But treasure in earthen vessels. Just look, just imagine. Treasure in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels, we are human beings, we can make so many mistakes. But God has decided to put a priceless treasure in us. And this priceless treasure is Christ Jesus. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What an honor. I look at myself and I find myself so unworthy. I look at myself as so weak. I look at myself and see, wow, even if I was myself, I could not have chosen myself. But God chose me. And God placed his treasure in me so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. What makes me unique is because of the unique treasure that is Jesus Christ that lives within me. Are we together? So go out there, whatever it is that you're doing. Go out there, be unique, because there is a unique treasure that is in you. I want us to conclude. So let us look at verse 18. Say, after that, after Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, so that we being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18 then, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Just imagine. We were without hope in the world, as the Bible says. We did not have God. We did not have any hope of living. We had sinned against God. And the Bible says, the soul that sins must die. The wages of sin is death. But God in his love, God in his love, chose to bring us back to himself. The fact that Christ can dwell in your heart is the one that helps us to be rooted and grounded in love, so that we may be able to understand not only ourselves but together with the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and the depth, to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. What kind of love is this that would take him to the extent of dying on the cross just to take us back to himself? What kind of love is that? So this kind of relationship with God, when you begin understanding and studying this kind of a mystery, then every other day we continue to know the love of God better and better. Are we together? We continue to understand the extent. To what length is God willing to go to have you as his son? How far is God willing to go so that Christ can live in your heart? And I think then when you begin thinking about that, you begin valuing salvation probably more than you have valued it before. He's willing to go to the extent of death on the cross and in the grave so that he can have you back to himself. God is willing to go as far as he can to bring you back to himself. Then he says what? Verse 19, after he says to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that he may be filled with all the fullness of God. So Christ dwells in our heart, we are filled with the fullness of God. When people see you, they can surely say, I see God in this person. I see God in this person. Surely, there is God in this person because you are so full of God. You are so full of the glory of God. Now, I am remembering Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, which says that it is until we come to the unity of faith, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, of the fullness of God. Yeah, so then, once we know this, we need to continue making it a deliberate affair, deliberate effort and commitment to continue growing in him, growing in God. Daily devotion, daily seeking of the Lord, daily listening to the Lord, that we continue growing in him until we get perfected to the measure of the stature. Now, just a quick story. I was thinking about this particular verse. I think, yeah, it was a time I was just writing one of my books, and I came to this place, measure of the stature. And I began just hearing the Lord speaking to me one way or the other. And what was brought to my attention took me to the dictionary. I checked the word stature. What is stature? We come to the fullness of the stature. The stature, by dictionary definition, is the appearance and the length of the body, or the size of the body from the head to the toe. So if you look at me, this is my stature ni venye unaniona, ni mwili yangu tu vile niko. Pastor has a different stature from me, right? I have a stature that is not the same. Basically, ukiniona unajua ni mimi. That is Kingodi. That is my stature. Mikono yangu inakaa hivi, niko mrefu, this is my height, this is my length. Hivi ndivyo unaona imefika, hapa nipo kukonda imenifikisha pia. So basically, the stature. How do I look like from just an appearance? When I sleep, when I stand up, when I walk, that is my stature. It does not change. Sinikweli, stature does not change. But then the Lord impressed also on me something else that is called posture. Posture is a temporary position. For example, you all of you, have a different posture than me. Mimi nimesimama, nyinyi mmeketi. But that is not your permanent position. This is not my permanent position because I will also sit down. Is that so? So when the Bible says that we may grow to the fullness of the stature of God, it does not mean about us becoming an appearance or putting on a show. It simply means it is not a temporary position that we adopt to answer kukaa kama Yesu and then we can change to choke. Are we together? Simply means that we actually begin looking permanently like Jesus Christ. Everything about us begin looking at Jesus Christ. You cannot wake up today and say you want to be shorter or you want to be taller. That is how permanent stature is. That is how permanent it is. But a posture, utakaa hivi usikie umechoka, ukae hivi. Are we together? So we've been called to the full measure of the stature. To look like Christ from head to toe, in the exactness of how he looks like. God does not want us to impress anybody by language, by speaking in tongues, by appearing as if we are godly or what have you. God wants us to be actually godly. Are we together? He wants us to be actually Christ-like. The last part of that verse says what? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This power is at work within us. The power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work within us. Therefore, it is not only able to raise us from the dead, but also even do much and much more. It is why Jesus Christ would say, you will even do greater things than I am doing. Are we together? Yes. This power is at work within us. It is willing to bring us to the point of growth and maturity, to the point where we begin looking like Jesus Christ. It is willing to take us through any kind of situation, any kind of challenge that the devil places in our midst. It is able to bring us out of any kind of mess that we find ourselves in. The power that worked within Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was able to bring them out of the fire.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Was able to bring Daniel out of the lion's pit. It was able to cause them to appear 10 times better. Imagine, they were told, wewe kuleni hii chakula, wakasema apana, we will not eat the delicacies of the king. Tutakula mboga, tutakula managu and vegetables. But the Bible says they were found to be 10 times better than those who are eating the better food, so to say. The power that is at work within us is able to make you 10 times better. Not just so that you can shine and say, well, I am earning a good salary, I am better, I am the boss of every other person, I am so famous, I am so good. No. You are 10 times better so that those who see you 10 times better can begin asking themselves, what is it that makes this person better? And what shall be the answer? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 21 is the last one. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. So God wants to be glorified in the church. God wants to be glorified in you. In whatever you do, glorify God. So please, before we begin thinking and asking the Lord, kuja tuende, wacha kwanza tufanye ile kazi iko hapa. If we do it well, he will come soon enough. Are we together?
Amen.
May the Lord bless you so much.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I do believe.